This morning, the Savior's standing with us.
Oh, Jesus is here, and all things are possible. Jesus.
Oh, we believe you, Lord. You promised it, Lord.
Oh, Jesus is here.
Can we give him a hand clap of praise?
Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you,
Jesus. Praise his name. You know, you come out today and you see a storm cloud, you see this all this rain, all this muck, and you go, all right, go deal with that. You try to get in the house of the Lord and you got to get out of that, right? We got to get out of that world. That's fine out there. The sun might not be shining out there, but the Son of God is shining in here this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is here?
Amen.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles together. Exodus chapter 17. Second book there of the Bible, right at the beginning. Exodus chapter 17. Before I forget, we're going to have a we'll see how it goes, but we're going to have a question and answers sermon next week. If you have any questions you'd like to drop in, there's a little box out there. It's an empty tissue box, but it's a box. You don't have to put your name or anything. That ain't what's important. It's the questions that's on your heart. I'd like to just see if there's anything in the hearts of the people and to help the Lord be able to address those things. So if you have anything, you can go ahead and leave it in there, and next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll try to answer those the best we can. Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he had let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I'd like to preach this morning with the help of the Lord. He shall be called Jehovah Nissi. He shall be called Jehovah Nissi. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We just love feeling your presence here, Lord. We know that's why you ordained us, that we could come together with other brothers and sisters, those that believe the same thing, Lord. And you might be able to bring our faith higher than it was before we got here, Lord, that you'd be able to make our love greater for you and for each other than it ever was before we got here this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you would be able to have your way, knowing that your way is the only way that works, Lord. All our ways will fail. All our ways stumble. Every time we try to do something on our own, Lord, we just have to look up and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, let me do it your way. Help us this morning, we pray. If we're doing anything wrong, Lord, if there's any sin in our hearts, any unbelief that has crept into our lives, I pray that the Spirit of God would come down this morning and eradicate those things from our life. Lord, we want to be real Christians. We want to be anointed with your Spirit. Lord, we want to have real fellowship with you. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. We invite you to have your way this morning. May you just speak through me, Lord, and hear through our ears and enter into our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pray for me this morning. I don't know, maybe the rain's making me feel all groggy too, but I ain't gonna yield to that. No, sir. We read here in Exodus. You might ask, okay, what does Jehovah Nissi mean? Does anybody know what Jehovah Nissi means? Okay, that's the response I expected. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah means the Lord, obviously. Our God, our Savior is Jehovah. Nissi means Jehovah, our banner. Jehovah, our banner. And you go, Brother Andrew, what does that have to do with anything? What is the big deal of him being our banner? Well, I looked up some definitions of the word banner, and I enjoyed this thoroughly. A banner in a regular dictionary that I had found is the flag of a nation, an army, and etc., used as a standard or an ensign. So for us, it would be our American flag. It's a flag that stands for the nation. That's our banner. When you see a flag of the United States, you know whatever's there is being represented by America. Does that make sense this morning? Yes. Amen. Well, that would be the same for us. It's the standard of an emperor or a king or a knight. So it's a symbol for something. It's something to show you whose side you're on. It's something to show you who's identified under this symbol. And as Joshua here was discomforting Amalek by the help of the Lord, Moses was on the top of a hill holding up the rod of God. He knew that rod had God in it, because that's the rod that he took and hit the Red Sea and split in half. It wasn't Moses that split the Red Sea in half. He was a man. But God was in his rod, and he knew it. And when he placed it down, the Red Sea had to split, because God said they were crossing over the Red Sea. They couldn't die over there. God had already promised it. And here they're having another battle. And Moses has faith in this rod now. He's watched it work a few times. You ever had faith after you've seen something work a few times? You go, hey, laying on the hands actually works. Maybe I'll do that a little bit more. And Moses realized that, hey, this rod really does have God in it, because God said he would be with us. And God came into this rod. So as we're going to go fight Amalek, he was up at the top of the hill, and he was holding up this rod, the rod of God. No, Israel knew by now what that rod was. You know, before they might have doubted Moses, but when they watched the Red Sea split in half, they said, no, this is God amongst us. When they needed help, when they needed healing, God, he was always there. God was always with them. And as he held up this rod, they knew that God was still with them. And as he held it up, Joshua would win the battle. They would watch. If you could almost visualize being at the top of the hill and looking down and watching this side start pushing that side back. And Moses would be like, praise God, we're going to win this. But just like any of us, you try holding my hand up like this, it's starting to tire me out, my shoulder. Imagine if I had a big rod and I'm trying to hold this up. What's going to happen eventually is I'm going to get tired. Maybe he even switched hands and tried to do this for a while. And they kept winning, but eventually Moses didn't have no more strength. And he left his arms down. And then you watch the wave of Amalek start pushing Israel back. And Aaron and Hur that were walking with him on the mountain couldn't handle this. And I wish a lot of Christians would get that way. When you see a brother getting down the dips and the dumps, it ain't time to go stomp on his face. It's time to lift him up in prayer and hold his arms up. What if they said, come on, Moses, don't you care about them down there? Of course he did. That's why he was holding the rod of God up. But he was getting tired. He was a human. I wish we'd realize that one another are human sometimes too. You got faults, you got failures, I got plenty of them too. Don't worry. You pray for mine, I'll pray for yours. How's that work? Amen. Praise God. And as he was at the top of the hill, he's holding up the rod of God. Aaron and Ur came up to him. They realized he ain't got strength to hold this up no more. So they set him up on a rock so he didn't have to stand. He could sit down, and they came and they held his arms up. And it kept the rod of God up the whole rest of the battle, and they annihilated the enemy. And God comes around and says, don't let this go and by the wayside. You write down a memorial for Joshua when he comes around that this works. That this God that we serve ain't dead. He's still alive. It's the same with the message of the hour. Don't you preach some God that was alive 2,000 years ago and don't do nothing now. Amen? Amen? I don't want to preach to myself this morning. You hear something good, go ahead and say amen for me. If I ask a question, I do like answers. It makes me feel better. All right? Even if you just head nod, that'll do me just fine. All right? I'm a school teacher. And when I get... after I say something, it's time to go back. I messed something up. Just as Moses was standing in the gap, us ministers, we're not here to talk some good talk. It's about the people of God. We're here to strengthen the people of God. That's what the ministry was sent for.
Sure.
Excuse me, I lost my... okay, now I remember where it's at. Thank you, Lord. He was top of the hill, and after they'd won the battle, and they were feeling great, God said, don't let this just go by the wayside. You write this down for memorial so when you can write it for Joshua, because he's going to take him into promised land. He needs to remember that this worked, and it's going to keep working in every nation. So when he went to build an altar, he said, I'm going to write the name Jehovah Nissi. God is our banner. Because when they were fighting the battle, if they were fighting in their own strength, they'd have been scared. I would have been. Could you imagine when you were with Gideon, there's only 300 of you, and there's a sea of people out there with chariots and horses, and you're going to go fight them?
Uh-huh.
300? I look around and say, buddy, you got a machine gun? They ain't invented yet, but you got one? We don't got a chance. And Joshua was the same thing. We don't know how many numbers they had back then. But this army, we know it didn't win without God. They tried it once. Right. They said, oh, there's this little nation. We can take on this. How many times have we done that? Oh, it's just a little sin, Lord. I don't need your help. I'll take care of it. No, you won't.
Amen.
You'll lose every time.
Yes.
You don't never go in any battle without the Lord. He is your banner. When you go to battle, it ain't time to go, oh, I can handle this one, Lord. No, no, no. You look up to Calvary. That's our banner up there. He's up on the hill like Moses was saying, I've got the victory. I've already won.
Yeah.
And if you keep your eyes on it, when you go through this little battle, don't mean nothing. Keep looking up. The battle's already won. He already went and died for your sins. They've been forgiven. If you've been born again now,
yes.
Don't go applying things you ain't saved yet. Sometimes we preach salvation to all, but not all is going to receive salvation. But if you're an heir of salvation, you're in salvation, and you're under the banner, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Nothing. Amen.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Looked up a biblical definition of the word banner. It was on my Bible program there. And the first one's about the 12 tribes of Israel. They would all have their own flag, so you could tell which tribe was from which. That's not where, I don't believe that ties with us, because the same God I serve, the same God you serve.
Amen.
They were all under one God, though.
Amen.
Oh, we might be from this church, but don't you go around making that your banner.
Uh-huh.
Don't you make the pastor your banner. Amen. It don't matter who your pastor is. It don't matter what church you go to. It don't matter what kind of car you have. You need to have the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has to be your banner.
Glory.
And the biblical definition I found was this. A lofty signal flag. Not carried about, but stationary. And it was usually erected on a mountain or other lofty place. As seen in... I missed the spot here. As soon as it was seen, the war trumpets were blown.
Amen.
So this flag only went up when it was wartime.
Amen.
And it wasn't something that you had to depend on some soldier carrying it out there and he might die and then the flag goes down. No, 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 no. That's not how they did it. They found some mountain. Or ain't nobody going to get up there. And they put the flag up because they said, we got the victory already. You ain't going to kill us. Our flag is going to be sitting. You can't touch it. And it's the same with us. It ain't depending on us. It's depending on Christ, on Mount Calvary, what he did for you.
Amen.
That's the ensign. That's the banner that we're under. The blood of Christ.
Amen.
And if you can realize that you're under the blood of Christ and that your sins, even when you confess, you make a mistake. When you confess it, it hits the blood. It don't get past the banner.
It never does. Amen.
God only sees the banner.
Amen.
And he was righteous. He was holy. He was without sin. It was set up in a lofty place where the enemy couldn't touch it. And the second they seen it, it was time for war. And that's what I'm saying today, Christian soldiers. Don't get down here in some Christian picnic. That's for the denominations, all right? They're having their Christian picnic, feeling good, walking down the cataracts, heading down to hell soon. That ain't what we're here for. We're here to fight. I didn't tell Dad about this sermon this morning when you guys heard him talking about the soldiers and things. I felt pretty good about that after that. Even in the Bible, let's turn back a couple chapters here. Exodus 15. Let's read the first three verses here. This is after they crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians were dead. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation.
Amen.
My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
Yes.
So Christianity, neither was in the Old Testament, New Testament, ain't no picnic. It's a warfare.
Amen.
What's the warfare? God has always been trying to annihilate his enemy, the devil.
Amen.
The whole time. It's been the whole story since the beginning of time. How come every story you read in the books, what is it? Good versus evil. And what are we always looking for? When is good finally going to beat the evil? And here's what's nice about ours. The victory's already been won, if you'll believe it. You don't have to go beat the devil tomorrow. You don't got to beat him this afternoon. You need to believe that he's already defeated.
Amen.
And if you can believe that, it doesn't matter what comes your way.
Hallelujah.
You'll be able to overcome it.
Amen.
Because you recognize that the Lord is a man of war.
Amen.
So when you're saying, devil, man, this devil's bothering me, he's bothering me. Go call the Lord.
Amen.
He's a man of war.
Amen.
He knows how to fight this thing off.
Yes, he does.
He knows how to take that two-edged sword of the word and take care of business. You go ask him sometime. Watch the results change. Quit trying to do it in your own strength. You're never going to do it.
Never.
You go, well, brother, that's Old Testament. You know, that was when it was rough and tough. That was when they were under the law. I'm going to the New Testament now.
Yeah.
Matthew, first book of the New Testament, chapter 10. You'll hear that a lot of times. Oh, the God of the Old Testament was all mean and angry all the time, and the God of the New Testament was love and peace and joy. No, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that said, I will love you, is the same one that says, you sinned, you're going to die for it.
Uh-huh.
He's still just. He isn't going to be an unjust judge, but he still loves you if you'll accept his mercy.
That's right.
Matthew 10:31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. There you go. What did the gospel come to do? Wreak havoc on Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
God was sick and tired of watching Satan being established in the churches. He couldn't take it no more. He had watched from Malachi, that last prophet had died. And for 400 years, Satan crept into the church, into the synagogues. And he took full reign to where the priest could get up and tell you, you don't lie, but I'm going to lie behind your back and take your money.
Uh-huh.
Satan was ruling in the churches. And it was the same in our day. The Catholic Church went around taking people's money, taking their lives, saying, you ain't saved unless you told to this line. And it ain't in the word. They just want you to give them, to give you, for you to give them your money. You give them your time. You do their work for them. Why do you think the Catholic Church took over the world so easily? They didn't even fight their own battles.
That's right.
They go hire some nation because they're afraid they're going to go to hell if they don't listen to the Pope. So they told them, go kill them for us.
Uh-huh.
How are you going to fight somebody like that? You ain't. That's the point. Time to go back to the banner. It's time to get the Lord back on your side.
Glory to Jesus.
To know that he's on your side. Jesus didn't come to send peace. And that's why we shouldn't be surprised when heartaches come with the gospel. We shouldn't be surprised when hard times associate the word of the Lord. It's going to be that way every time.
Every time.
If you came to just sit on a flowery bed of ease, you joined the wrong religion.
Amen.
Because this one's real.
Uh-huh.
This one has reality to it. It isn't just some fan fiction thing that somebody made up one day. That's what a lot of these religions are. Do you know that? You trail it back. Go trail Buddha back. Go look what he was doing. He was just sitting around meditating. And he came up with this stuff. Now they worship him like he's a god. He was just like on these other crazies that we see out here now. It's the same. You know, they have one called out. What's that? What is that called? Apostopharianism or something? Anybody heard of that? The flying spaghetti monster. I saw something there one time. It's a religion. It's crazy. And it was a joke. Some college kid just made it up, made it a joke, right? Oh, maybe because we can't see God, we'll just call him some flying spaghetti monster. And now there's people that follow that.
Sure.
And if you realize, every false religion started that way,
uh-huh.
But after a while it develops to where Satan's got it so mass now, it looks like a legacy.
Uh-huh.
It looks like this great thing. You watch Muhammad. Anybody studied Islam at all? It's just so convenient. He got these revelations right when he needed them, isn't
uh-huh.
it? Oh, should we kill them? Oh, God told me what to do now. What was that 2 years ago when we really needed it?
Right.
We're already in a mess now. That's what's nice about the Bible. We knew what was coming 2,000 years
Amen.
Before it ever got here.
That's right.
It's the only word that has prophecy and it works.
Amen. Amen.
Jehovah Nissi. I just want to go back. There's different compound names. And I'm just going to read this quote so you can understand what I'm saying here. Jehovah Jireh, California 55. In all these compound names, They were everyone met in Jesus Christ. He was Jehovah Jireh, the provided sacrifice. He was Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He was Jehovah, the banner. Jehovah, the buckler. Jehovah, the peace. Jehovah, the shepherd. All those compound redemptive names was applied to the Lord Jesus. You couldn't apply one and take the other one away. And if they was not applied, he was not Jesus, the Son of God. There you are.
Amen.
They're inseparable. You can't separate God's compound names.
Amen.
And if one of them was applied to Jesus, all of them was applied to Jesus. So if he's God's provided sacrifice for sin, he's God's provided atonement for healing, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Forever. Amen.
So this name applies, this Jehovah Nissi to us applies to Jesus Christ. He is our Jehovah Nissi. Back in the Old Testament, they didn't know what his real name was. They had these titles. He's the Lord, my banner. Could you imagine if you're God, all you can tell anybody is, he told us that he's the I am. That's all we got.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what Moses had to do.
Uh-huh.
Later was, he's just the Lord.
Uh-huh.
That's his name, the Lord. That's like you walking around saying, my captain's the captain. That's his name. That's all I got. He won't tell me his real name. There was one man, was it Jacob, that tried to, he wrestled with him. He said, tell me your name. He said, can't you see it's a secret?
Yeah.
God kept it secret until an end time.
Amen.
People were ready for it. Because you can't accept, we don't even understand what these things really mean until you receive the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because the Bible is very plain. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth.
That's what he said. Amen.
So you only can figure out so much. The only thing you're ever going to figure out that you need to figure out is that you need saved.
Amen.
Before you get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The only thing you're going to figure out is that you're a sinner and you need an atonement and Christ did it for you and now you're accepting it. You're dead to yourself and you're going to live by Him.
Amen.
That's all you can do before you get the Holy Ghost. Then He comes in and then He can start showing you the mysteries.
That's right.
He can start showing you the truth of the word of the hour.
Amen.
So these names were applied to Jesus Christ. And for the Christian, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen. Is to look up and to see that banner behind us the whole time that we're fighting. We got our uniforms on. We got our Christian armor on us. But we can always look back and say, He's got my back the whole way.
Whole way, amen.
But if you ain't a Christian, it's the worst thing you can look at. Because what does it mean? It means you've rejected that banner. That banner has now become the enemy.
That's right.
Because you're under a different banner.
That's right.
And if you're under your church banner, that's a different banner. If you're under the message banner, you're under a different banner. That's not how it works. It's under Christ. And Christ is a person. Don't even kid you. He's not like a figment of our imagination. He is real.
Yes,
he has a presence.
Amen.
How many feel it this morning?
Yes, sir.
You feel when we were worshiping? I sure did. He comes by. He can be in all places because He knows everything, but He's still a being.
Amen.
He's not like the wind that just floats around. We ain't serving the wind. We're serving our God.
Amen.
And we were made in His image. That means He looks like us.
Yes, He does.
So when you think of him being a man of war, he looks like you would when you would go to war. Except, I love it. You know the Roman sword's only this long, I think, 18 inches?
Amen.
They figured out it's the most effective way. You get some big honking thing, you can't swing it right or fast or anything like that. And even when Brother Brandon, when he said the sword fell into his hand, it was like one of those. Except he said it was feather sharp. He said it could look like it just cut anything. And it can. The word of God is so powerful.
Hallelujah.
You know it can cut your spirit and your soul apart from each other? It can show you what's on the outer man and what's on the inner man.
Amen.
It's the only thing that can do it. Nothing else but the Word will do that. You might convince me that you're a Christian on the outside, but I can't tell your heart. But there's one that can.
Amen.
And that's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's a sword sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
And you can see Christ standing there. He ain't just a passive Savior now.
No, He's not.
He already fulfilled that. When He comes back, He will have a two-edged sword in His hand. And it says it came out of His mouth. Which means the Word of God that should have saved people will kill them.
Amen.
Because if you're not under the banner, you're against the banner.
Amen.
Now, who was this banner given to? Let's go to Psalms. A little bit of Bible study. Hope you don't mind that. Psalms chapter 60. We'll just read these down to verse 4. Psalms chapter 60, down to verse 4. O God, Thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn Thyself to us again. I love that David at least knew, we ain't going to win no battles. We ain't going to get nowhere until we know the Lord's back on our side. because they had forsaken him, they had done something wrong, and they needed to repent for it. And that's what David was doing here. Verse 2, thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast shown thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given us a banner. Has given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth.
Yeah.
Why is he giving the banner to us? Because it's to the people that fear him. And the fear in the Bible, the fear of the Lord ain't like trembling and shaking and I can't talk to this person. That ain't the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is reverential fear. And I wish more people, when they came into the house of God, had some reverential fear. To realize that you're coming into the house that is dedicated to the Savior of your soul. And we talk and come up and do whatever we want to do. No, you reverence every decision you make in this place and really anywhere. But this is specifically dedicated to His service. We don't do anything here but to bring glory to Him.
Amen.
And we could do the same in our houses, but look, I got to brush my teeth. I got to eat. I got to change. But I ain't going to do that in here. Because I have the fear of the Lord in my heart. And since we have that fear, and I believe you do too, I ain't trying to condemn you now. We have that fear. God has given us a banner, and it's displayed that we might know the truth.
Amen.
That if you don't look at the banner and you see all the clouds of warfare, you know, you can get very confused real fast. You might even forget what side you're on in the middle of a battle.
Sure.
You go, how could you do that? Well, you get into where you're about to die. And you tell me what you start feeling like. Why do you think that banner was back there? Well, say you got to turn around, you're fighting, there's smoke going everywhere, there's dust all over the place. You just watched your friend get stabbed in the shoulder. And you're wondering, who's the enemy anymore? Well, where's the banner at? Oh, it's back here. That means the enemy's that way.
Right, amen.
I wish the Christian would understand that. Where's the word? Where's the word in this situation? All right, there's the word. What's contrary to that? That's the enemy.
Yes, amen.
Let's get it out of my life now.
Amen.
That's good.
Oh, I used to get up and pray at 6. Oh, the Bible told me to get up and to seek Him early. Well, that must be the devil making me busy at 6 in the morning.
Amen.
It's time to quit worrying about all that and get on my knees and have fellowship with God like I'm supposed to.
Amen.
And that's easy. And that's why I just hate how Satan does things. If it ain't one way, he'll do it the other way. Back and forth. Does he fight you that way? He does me. Sometimes I'll get too legalistic to where if I don't pray today, I'm done. Game over. I might as well just quit.
Amen. Amen.
And then he pushed me another way where I didn't even pray and I'm just thinking I'm going to have an okay day.
Uh-huh.
It don't work that way either.
Amen.
That's why I hate Satan. I hate him because he's a deceiver.
Uh-huh.
You understand that? He ain't got nothing. He's got a big blow up sword. See, the Lord's got a little sword that'll cut anything. He's got a huge 10-foot sword that's just full of air because he can't do nothing with it. And he goes, like he's going to take you out. He can't even will. And he's doing it real fast because, like I said, it's just made of air. Just pull out the word one time and say, Satan, I rebuke you. Pop it. He will. He'll leave. I'm telling you that. I've realized the devil is a chicken.
Amen.
He is. I wish we'd realize that. So many people want to praise the devil. Well, the devil did this to me. The devil did this. And I go, man, that's like me coming up and saying, oh, my 2-year-old son's just beating me up all the time. Can't do nothing about it. Man, I tell you what, he just drives, oh man. And you look at me and say, well, whack him on. I'll tell you the same with the devil, right? Don't go around bragging on no devil. He's a wimp. Use the word one time, he'll flee like a coward. That's all he is. He's a bluff. He ain't got nothing. Remember in the first seal, he said he was that white horse rider. He had a bow. He didn't have no arrows. He just kept flashing his bow at you. Look, I got a bow. You better run away. I got a sickness for you. You better not get too holy roller on you. Because I'm a damn you right out of here.
Don't get excited.
No, just grab the sword, stab him once, and realize he ain't got nothing.
Amen.
He ain't gonna hit you no arrows. If he makes you sick, who cares? If you're saved, you've got a body that's waiting for you that can't get sick.
Amen.
Big deal.
Amen.
Go ahead, devil. Why do you think Paul said death? Where's your sting? Go ahead, cut my head off. It's just a shortcut to heaven for me.
Amen.
Why? He had perfect faith. He knew what side he was on.
Amen.
He knew who was his banner. He wasn't dependent on himself. He knew Christ had him the whole way.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And what we've been preaching, if you've been saved, God always had you in His mind.
Amen.
You were always saved. You were always under His banner.
Always. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's good.
Hope this is all right this morning.
Hey, it's awesome.
Amen.
He amazes me every time when I come up here. Thank you, Jesus. God has provided a way, Louisville, 54. The only thing that I could do is let me go down here. In all the seven compound redemptive names laid in Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's provided sacrifice, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals thy diseases, and Jehovah the Banner, and all the other seven compound names was all in Christ Jesus. And that's where all the types and shadows of the Old Testament all come and met in Jesus Christ. He paid the supreme price, ascended on high, and sent back the Holy Ghost tonight, which is God's provided way of your escape. You say, how do I know I'm under the banner? How do I know I'm on the ruining side? Did you receive the Holy Ghost or not?
Amen.
That's it. Until you received it, there ain't nothing else to talk about. Go to the book of Acts. Tell me one thing they told people about until they got them converted.
That's right.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's what they talked about. And you go, well, I don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. I don't understand it. He met those people too. He said, we never heard of where there'd be no Holy Ghost. And he said, well, were you baptized too? And if they weren't baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you need to hit the water again and get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because that's the only way you're going to have a witness. You have to receive the Holy Ghost. It is your witness that you're in the body.
Amen.
That's it. There's nothing else. But if you're in the body, let's preach like we're in there. The seven compound names of Jehovah, 55. He's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, He's Jehovah our provided sacrifice, our healer, our banner, our peace, our shepherd, our righteousness. Can you believe that? That he is your righteousness.
Amen.
And his presence. We've got to be all that right now. And the last thing, at the last one of his redemptive names that he appeared to Abraham, he said, I'm Jehovah Rapha, the provided one to provide a sacrifice, provide the way. Whatever he has, God will provide it. Now listen closely. And I am Jehovah that healeth thee. I am thy righteousness. I am thy peace. I am thy shield. I am thy banner. And I'm ever present to perform it.
Amen. Amen. Ever present.
He doesn't want it just to be some good thought. He wants to show you, yes, this is true. What Brother Andrew is telling you, that's the Lord speaking. Amen. What he's telling you right now Amen. Is the truth.
Amen.
And it will live.
Amen.
And the Lord's here to perform his
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Mom, how you feeling?
Good.
She's sick on the way in this morning. Just in case you didn't believe he was still healing, he still heals.
Amen.
Amen. You see what I mean? Ever present to perform it. I, the Lord, have spoke it. I, the Lord, have planted it. I will water it day and night, lest some should pluck it from my hand.
Amen.
His word don't sit void. People sit void.
Amen.
Amen.
Even if you're a seed of God, just imagine you took a seed of God and took it out of the dirt on purpose. It was grown just fine in the Word. And you took it out and started doing the things of the world. Things you know better to do. Things that you go and get a guilty conscience all about.
Right.
And you go take that seed. And what you're doing, you're throwing it out here on the road. And then you're building a concrete box around it and you expect it to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to grow. That don't mean you're not a seed. It just means you better get ready because it's going to get bad.
Amen.
Man, trying to live out there like that. Imagine if you were that little seed. You're trying to crawl back to the dirt. Yeah, it's going to feel tough. Stay in the Word.
Amen.
Stay in the presence of God. You'll automatically grow.
Automatically. Amen.
Saying, how can I have peace, brother? How can I know that he's my banner? Psalms 23, very familiar chapter. I don't know if I'll go too much longer either. I think you're getting it this morning.
Amen. Glory to Jesus.
Psalms 23. We'll just read down to 5. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Could you picture this right now? David's getting hungry. You know, he might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I ain't fear nothing. God, you can prepare my food right here. Enemies are standing right around this place.
Uh-huh.
I ain't worried about it no bit. He prepares the table around my enemies. Why is he okay? Is right here. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What is oil in the Bible? It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He said, I can withstand this. I can handle this because I can feel the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And I know he's with me. And look, I'm not saying feel as in like physically feel it. I mean you really believe it and you know he's there. Because there's a difference. We can feel the anointing here, and I believe David can feel the anointing. But there's a difference when you know there's an anointing that abides. That he's always with us. Boy, he never leaves us or forsakes us. And that even when the presence of God, you don't necessarily feel it like you do out here sometimes. You've got to recognize, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
Everything can be falling apart. My son's wayward. He's out there doing that. My loved one's on the deathbed. What about them? They ain't saved yet. Mm-hmm. And all these enemies come around. And if you start believing them, they'll take you out. They'll take your joy away. Amen. They'll take your experience away. You'll think you're serpent seed. You'll walk around confused. But if one time you can realize, no, I have the Holy Ghost. I have God here. I have my banner. And take your eye and look up and see that Christ is watching the whole thing and he did it on purpose.
Amen.
Just to see what you do about it.
Amen.
To see if you believe him or not. He don't know if you, he can't prove to you that you really believe until you go through hard times.
Right.
Until you go through something where you realize, I had to have faith then, or I'd be dead right now. I had to have faith then, or my son would have died right there. That's how you know you're under the banner. That's how you can handle anything, to know that you're in the presence of God. Let me read this. Hot spring, or it's Y 63. Our Heavenly Father, we deem this such a privilege, God Almighty, to come into the congregation of the Lord, to fellowship together, testifying, telling of the great things that you've done and places that we have been. And it just reminds me of Acts 4 in the Bible when they returned and was speaking of what the Lord had done. And they all prayed and the place was shook where they were assembled together. God, we're not so anxious tonight to see the building shook, but we'd like for you to shake us, Lord. Shake our understanding, shake our being, our emotions, our hearts to of understanding that we might leave here more determined than ever to serve you. That we might feel the presence of a new, fresh Pentecost of a Holy Spirit pouring out upon us afresh and anew. Like down in these woods and hills in Arkansas 50 years ago, where the full fathers come through here in horses and wagons of preaching this gospel. And here, Lord, may we, the bearers of this great worthy cause that you sent to the earth, may we not be ashamed of this great thing. But may we walk in the footsteps of those that who went before us, Lord. Packing the banner of the Lord Jesus, may others who have not accepted this great plan of salvation that God laid down for us in the Scripture, foretold all the way down through the Old Testament, and today we're enjoying it, may there be a great shaking among us, Lord, and a renewing of faith and a renewing of efforts.
That's good. Amen.
That's all God wants out of us. He don't want you to do anything. He wants you to believe.
Amen.
And to not be ashamed of him.
Amen.
And to realize that you are 100% dependent on him. But show it. Show it in your daily life. When you go to you're on the job and you're going to eat your food, you don't just eat it down. You stop and take a minute and you pray for that. So you ain't ashamed of him, but you ain't trusting your holiness is going to make this food holy. You're trusting that the Lord will make it holy. He's going to fight your battle for it. But I ain't ashamed of him. And yeah, you say all these enemies, all these people, all these demons. Yeah, it's demons. That's what it is.
Yes, it
and
is.
They're just trying to keep you from being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
How can I stand amongst the presence of my enemies? Get anointed with the Spirit of God. It'll always overcome. Finish with this, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. Just to backdrop this just a little bit, Paul, can't remember if he was towards the end of his ministry or not. He was admonishing Timothy, who was a pastor at the time. And this is what he determines to tell him when he might not ever see him again. You just think of that. Think of that one time. You wonder why Paul preached all night one time. Do you know that was the last time they were going to see him? I wonder why they stood attentive all the time. And if we could ever get a revelation that this might be it. This might be the last battle. This might be the last thing I have to overcome.
Amen.
And it'll all be over.
Right.
It would just change our perspective, I think. I think it would change our daily lives that way.
Amen.
We wouldn't skip prayer. We wouldn't skip church. We wouldn't skip reading our Bibles. We wouldn't skip listening to things that we ought to be and kicking out the things of the world like we should be.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't do that if we realized every moment could be the last one. even for you. You might not make it out of here. Right. God forbid that that would happen, but what's making your heart tick right now? The grace of God. What's making blood flow through your brain that you ain't having an aneurysm and just falling to the ground dead? The grace of God. Every moment that we have is His grace because He's looking for His people.
Amen.
You say, why hasn't the rapture happened yet, brother? It ain't because the message people ain't figured something out yet. It's because we ain't got somebody saved yet. We ain't brought them to Christ like we were supposed to just yet. So I think the time's long overdue, but just I don't know where that came from. Well, I do, but as far as what I was going to read here. 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So what is Paul saying? Saying, Timothy, first, don't hold this to yourself. Go find other men, get them converted, and teach them the same things that I've taught you. Because this is a family. This is an army. This is people all under the same banner, and we're here to fight. He said, don't just you fight your battles. You go find soldiers that'll fight too, and train them the right way.
Amen.
And how did he do that? By teaching them the word. That's all you need to give people. Give them the word. They'll make it happen. That, and then verse 3, this ain't going to come with easy. He says, endure hardness. Expect tough times, but endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Have faith. Don't give up. Don't look at the circumstances. Have faith and say, God has put me here. I will stand the test of time because it's the word of God in me standing the test of time.
Amen.
Because the word never started, never ends. It will always be.
Always. Amen.
And he explains to him, what's a good soldier like then? Verse 4, no man warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life. Which means his mindset was never on, what's this life? What do I have to make in this life? What business am I going to have? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? It had nothing to do with that. He was always thinking heavenly minded. That didn't mean he didn't go to work. That didn't mean he didn't pay for things. That didn't mean he didn't feed his children. It just meant that even those things, they were so overshadowed by his desire to please the Heavenly Father that you couldn't even hardly tell that he even cared about it. Because he was so into the word. And what did Jesus say? If you'll put me first in the kingdom first, all these things will be taken care of. I wish we'd have faith in that more, don't you?
Amen.
I wish I would. I wish I could put my hands on everything and just commit it to the Lord and realize it's going to be all right. He'll work it all out.
Sure.
Maybe I need to get down, like I said, and pray for brother so-and-so because he needs it. Maybe my brother is like Moses. His arm's gotten tired. It's falling down. And he just needs a little prayer, somebody to come help him up. And he can have the victory again. But I'm sitting here fretting about something I got to do tomorrow. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares what happens tomorrow? If it's not for the kingdom of God, it's not going to last anyways. It's just going to float around. What are you worried about your house? It's going to burn up. Your cars too. The only thing that'll last is the word of God.
Amen.
You must be part of it.
Must be.
Don't entangle yourselves with the things of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, perfection, strives to do everything he can for the kingdom of God, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Which means even if you have a good zeal, even if you really want to serve God, if you don't do it according to the word, you're not going to get anything out of it. It's like getting a command from the soldier or from the sergeant that says, soldier, go to Napoleon and take over. And you head down to Wasilon. You didn't obey the orders. You're not going to get no crown. You can wipe them all out. It doesn't matter. That's not what God told you to do.
Right.
And I think we've had a lot of times that even in services and things. We go, oh, praise God, we got the victory. We got the victory. Yeah, but it wasn't what the Lord wanted that service. Maybe somebody needed to repent, get down on their knees and find the Holy Ghost. Maybe that's what he needed. How are we going to know? Get anointed by the Spirit.
Amen.
Get under the banner. Don't take no thought of your own. Just take them, saying, Christ, you died for me. You took my place. And Lord, may I, by the grace of God, take yours down here. Let's stand together. God's provided a place of worship, 65. I think it's very behooving to us that as people who know that we're dying and living in a dying race, living in a dying age, living in a dying nation, under the banner of death. And this world must soon come to an end. It can't go much longer. Sin is too deep. It's beyond hope. There's no hope for the world. It's past that. I believe the Holy Spirit is gleaning in the fields, finding this one and that one, for the hour is far spent. The gospel's been preached to every nation. Isms and things has followed it, but yet the gospel has went on just the same. And now, at the end time, we see the things happening the way they are. There's a great warning among the elected people of God to find what is right. And it behooves us to know that. Now, not somebody's theory, but to know what is truth, what the Bible says is the truth, because it'll be too late one of these days for us, and this may be the day. So let us take real consideration of what God has said. Let's bow our heads. As we read there, if you're not under the banner of Christ, if you're not under the banner of His love and salvation, the only banner you can be under is the banner of death, because that's the banner that's hit the world now. It's not going to get no better. We shouldn't expect it to get no better. The only thing that's going to get better is when we leave this place and we go to glory. And I just pray, if there's anybody in your heart, you would say, Brother Andrew, I know there's just something ain't right in me. I need help. And I ain't here to help you. I can't do nothing to help you, but I know the Savior can. If you'd like to lift your hands to Him and say, Lord Jesus, could you help me to not walk in the things of the world, to not be under this banner of death, but to stay under the banner of life.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our eyes focused on you,
Father. As we reverence His presence, you pray your own way. But I think it's time, even myself, for a rededication. To just die out to everything in this life, in this world, and to sell out to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive us, Father, for being slothful. Forgive us, Lord, for being distracted by anything contrary to your word. Lord, we want to be real children of God. We don't want to be walking in any of the things of the world. We want to be under the banner of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to ever forsake you in any way. We don't want to ever look at any other thing. Father, I pray if our eyes are down on this world in the murk of this sin, that, Father, you would change it. Lord, you would take the eye salve and wash our eyes away, that we could look up and see the banner of your love for us. That you went to Calvary, that you gave your life and died in our place, that we could be benefactors of your resurrection. That, Lord, when death is sweeping the world, we don't have to worry about it, Lord. You're going to raise us up just the same, as you raised your own son. Father, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord Jesus. And I wish I had the words to demonstrate what you're trying to say to us, Lord. But it's just in a heavenly language. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would just give the revelation to the people this morning that you're still the same today as you've always been. That if they need peace, you're right there to give it. Help us, Lord Jesus, to believe that all things are possible. I just commit the people into your hands, Lord. I don't know what else to do but to trust you and to give my heart to you. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. And commit the words that were spoken into your hands. May you do with us as you please. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have a need, you'd like to come forth for prayer, I'll pray with you. Otherwise, we'll just give the Lord some praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm learning to lean, I'm learning.
198.
To lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus.